You know what the best part about not preaching is? I get very, very nervous when I preach. And this morning there was incredible worship, just as there was right now. And it's so nice when someone else preaches because I can relax. So Hein is bringing the word this evening, and we're really looking forward to what our brother has to say.
Thanks, Jenny. I'm glad to hear that someone can relax. For me, it's a bit more daunting, but we'll get there. Okay. The topic I'm going to be sharing with you on is how to be free from your old man. I feel it's very relevant. It's something that God has taken me through in my life, and He's busy taking me through it in my life. Obviously, there's never that I'll be completely free from it, but to have some freedom in it and to grow in freedom from it is just amazing. So, Jannie, thank you for the opportunity. I think it was about 3 or 4, maybe 6, I can't remember. Quite a few years ago, I once had to fill in the Baptist church, I had to fill the swimming pool, I don't know, the little tub thing in front. I had to fill it for people to get baptized. I was alone in the church, and I got behind the pulpit. And I sort of said a few words and got a feel for it, and I quite liked it. So, Jannie, thank you for the opportunity. Okay, like Jannie said, my name is Hein. My wife, Jenny Lynn, is sitting over there. We've joined Shofar Church earlier this year. Before that, we were at Stellenbosch Shofar, and that's where we got saved and got to know the Lord, was spirit-filled and baptized. Of my profession, I'm a horticulturist, so I actually spend a lot of time looking at citrus trees every day. And the citrus trees, and I don't get to talk too much, so this is not something I do every day, so I'm asking that you bear with me. Okay, the scripture... The scripture I'm going to start off with is Galatians 5, verse 1 and 13. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Okay, so what we see here, we are given a choice. Okay, it's freedom or burdened by a yoke of slavery. Also, this verse 13, "You, my brother, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Okay, so once again, we're given a choice. This is the grace of God to have choice. And I've highlighted choice here because it forms an integral part of my message tonight. This choice seems obvious. Okay, why would you not choose the truth? Why would you not choose freedom? Okay, but we often complicate it, and I certainly have complicated it for many years, and still do, by not trusting in God fully. Okay, and also because of the conditioning of our mindset. You know, our mindset is conditioned according to the pattern of this world, so sometimes it's very messed up. And even though you read the Word of God, you've got filters. You know, and for things that you hear, you're filtering everything through your system, through your upbringing, since when you were young, you know, and your hurts, your fears, your needs, your desires. So you've got a filter. I've outlined 5 points, 1 to 5, okay? And the first one is, now these points for me is just practical. What has helped me to walk in a greater level of freedom from the old man? And my first point is to know my enemy, okay? And to know his tactics and the weaknesses of my flesh. And the name Satan means accuser. And we've heard it said that he's the accuser of the brethren, you know. And also, we all come with the flesh, you know. It's a standard issue. There's no way around it. So we all have a struggle in our flesh. Some characteristics of Satan. What does our enemy look like? The Bible teaches that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion to see who he can devour. And what we need to notice here is it says prowls around like, you know. It doesn't say he's a roaring lion, because actually, you know, he isn't. We need to remember who the ruler is. You know, on earth, Jesus Christ is the ruler. Okay, the devil, Satan, he has he's a temporary ruler on earth, but only over those people who choose to submit to you. And by default, if you're not in the kingdom of God, then you're in his kingdom, and then you submit under that. But as a believer, you have a choice, like we saw. And you can choose against giving him access into your life, and we're going to look at how we do that. Also, the word says that he's a thief, so actually has no right. You know, a thief has no right. And the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if we look at the world around us, if we look at our own lives, we can see the destruction. You know, we can see those things. Also, John 8 verse 44 says, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. It says that when he lies, he speaks his native language. Okay, and for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Satan is very cunning, and we've all seen it. We've all seen the schemes, you know, the things that he holds up to us in our lives, you know. If we look at the example of Adam and Eve. With Eve, he came to Eve, and he used deception at first. He said, did God really say you are not allowed to eat of any of the trees in the garden, you know? And this got Eve's attention, okay? But this sowed doubt in Eve's heart as well, and she thought, yo, is God really good? And then he came and he made sin. You know, the one thing they weren't allowed to do, he made it look attractive. He presented it to her in a way that says, sure, I've got to have this, you know. And daily, it's still the same pattern that he's using in our lives. Okay. But in what form does he present himself in your life? We need to forget the storybook image of Satan, you know, with the funny-looking spear and the horns and the tail and that stuff. Like, to a large degree, the world makes a joke out of Satan. You know, he's not real. He doesn't exist. It's, you know, he's the guy you see on Halloween, people walking around, whatever. But Satan will disguise himself into whatever is appealing to your weakness. You know? He's a powerful spiritual force, okay? But we've been given authority over him. But be aware that he's very cunning, and right now you can sit here and I can ask you, like, what in your life, you know, are your weaknesses? How does he disguise himself in your life? Where does he try to make you stumble? Where does he try to get you into a trap and into bondage? Then the characteristics of the old man, okay? Like I said, this is standard issue, so we all have it. Sexually immoral, impure, lustful, which can lead to addictions, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slanderous, dishonest, judgmental. So that's not such a nice potential. You know, it's not a nice makeup, but we all have it. And a lot of stuff, like, take for instance lust. You know, if you were deprived of emotional affection when you were young, you know, or from your parents, you're likely to struggle with this more than someone else. Or if you were verbally or physically abused, you know, there's a good chance you have a problem with anger. So we have different weaknesses. We're not all, like, though we're all subject to this, to these weaknesses, you know, different ones apply more in our lives than maybe in someone else's life. The old man, what is the old man's belief system? I think what I'm going to say is going to apply to a lot of you, definitely applies to me. The old man believes he's not good enough. Okay, the old man believes he's lacking in many areas, that he's bad, that he cannot accomplish big things, that he cannot trust anyone, that he needs to protect himself, that he's a loser, cannot break a bad habit, powerless to bad habits, powerless to your weaknesses, you know, and that you need things to fill gaps in your life, that things that are actually destructive. And lots of these things have come into your life through lies and through pain as you were growing up, you know. As we're growing up, if we're not living for Jesus, if we're not walking in that revelation, maybe you've got an opa and an oma and a mom and a dad who's really covering you in prayer. I was lucky to have parents like those. So we've all been messed up to a degree. Our old man is messed up, and your old man has these characteristics, and your old man is ready to be set up for a trap. Okay, but yeah, we'll get to. Don't want to go ahead of myself. Okay, so my first point then is know your enemy, know his tactics, know where you can get attacked. And my second point is believe, trust, and know God and His Word. Okay, believe, trust, and know God and His Word. The Word of God says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Okay, and that is, the Word is the ultimate truth. All right, and the Word says in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this is a promise from God. Okay, so this is fact. It's not a negotiable. And walking in the truth will lead to freedom. All right. But it's easier to hear the spoken word of God when you have some freedom, and you have some peace. You know, if you've got a lot of distortion in your head from your old man, if you're still struggling there, it's harder to hear the word of God, and that's why we want to get to a place, you know, where you can start to really hear the word of God more clearly, more regularly. Because we are a son and a daughter of God, you know, if you've given your life to Him, you have authority. But often, certain things, we don't feel it, you know. We don't feel we have authority. We feel powerless. We feel overpowered. And then we think it's not real. Okay, but the Word of God is not a feeling, all right? From my experience, following its truth definitely affects the way you feel in a very amazing way. But where does our input come from? All right, like in my case, a lot of my input up until a few years ago is from whatever I see in the movies. You know, I see an inspiring movie and I want to be like that guy, okay? And you know, everything that guy does is cool, and you like it, and it's okay, and his moral standards are your moral standards, and he bends the rules so you can bend the rules. And but apart from that, we need to know that, like we saw, the devil is a master of deception and of lies. So he's got a scheme, you know. It's not just that, it's everything that we are confronted with on a daily basis, you know. There's a little something in there to trick you, okay? So we need to realign ourselves daily with the Word of God. We need to realign ourselves in the morning, you know, before your day starts. You need to come back to a place where you're focused, you know, where you know the truth. And you need to know how to apply the truth in your life daily. Often we're more influenced by what the world says we need, you know, by the world's idea of what is security. What is, you've made it, you know, what are the ticks that you need to get marked off to feel that you're actually okay? And I think you can get as many ticks marked off as you want. There'll always be something more that you feel you need to get to. So we strive, we try and fit into this culture and get the requirements marked off. But the Word says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is in James 1:8, and this was the story of my life, you know, double-mindedness. My wife used to be astonished at the way I could change my mind like this, you know. I wake up and I say so, and then within a minute, you know, like quick. Luckily it's not on moral issues anymore so much. Yeah. Walking in truth requires bravery, but it leads to a life of peace. The Word of God compares our Christian walk to running a race, and you need to endure. This used to be my thing. Okay, I used to run. I used to really enjoy it, and I was quite competitive. And I remember before that time, getting fit. Oh, what a hassle. You know, you sort of start, you sort of get there, and you sort of get distracted, and you're nowhere, right? But I was training in the group then, at Marty's, and because there's a group, it's easier, you know? And you get to a place where you fit, where you feel really good, you know? And we all have some idea of what our ideal weight is and all sorts of stuff, you know? So you get to a place where you feel good, you feel fit, and it's so encouraging to run, You want to do it. You get a kick out of it, man. You get a kick out of your fitness. You get a kick out of feeling that fit. And I feel the same applies to your Christian walk, you know, to getting the truth, to developing an appetite for the truth. The more truth you get in, you know, it's a wholesome thing. The more you get a kick out of it, the more you want of it. All right? But you can get distracted. And there will be booby traps on the road to try and get you off, you know. But that's also something important I want to say. When I was training on my own, it's difficult. Training in a group, you know, it makes all the difference. Get into healthy friendships. But yeah, choose your relationships wisely. The Word of God says that bad company corrupts good character. In 2009, God allowed me to go through a time of trial and persecution. You know, there was some events in my life, and then people were really bad-mouthing me and saying things about me that weren't actually true. But for me, these things are terrible, you know, and I was very protective over my name. So it was a massive thing for me, and I was very hurt and humiliated, and I wanted to take revenge. And revenge was a big thing in my life. You can ask my dad. He's sitting there, you know, when I was between 3 and 4 years old, he gave me a hiding over something, and I obviously didn't agree with his judgment on the matter. So I took a snook oog, you know, the fish, a snook. I took out its eye, I wrapped it in a cloth, and I put it in his pillowcase. I think, if I remember right, it kept you busy for 2 weeks before you found it. And this was just the start of it, you know, like, in my life, because I was so, like, I was so sensitive to criticism and all sorts of stuff. So if someone did, I can tell you hair-raising stories of what I got up to get back at people. Not all of it funny. Some of it just mean, you know. And my heart was hot, and I had no perception of unconditional love. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't understand it, you know. So God took me through this trial, and He gave me a very specific word through a friend that said, don't even try to defend yourself. Don't say a word in your defense. God said to me, I will vindicate you. All right? And also that it might not happen on earth. It might only happen in heaven. And this was a big deal for me because I wanted it sorted out quickly. But I sat through it, and I took that word, you know, and I was really obedient in it. And I was so bewildered by what I was going through that I had no choice. This was all I could do, you know. All I could know, I did fantasize a little bit about how to get even. But I sat through it, and God was so faithful, you know. But I remember this as a time of tears, and I remember it as a time of such joy. Because I was sitting there, I was so broken. Like, my heart was so broken. But I was, actually, that brokenness was me getting set free from things, you know. From my old way of defending myself. My old way of defending myself, you know, because I was so broken inside, I wanted to protect myself. And we all have protection mechanisms. And those protection mechanisms are destructive in the relationships and friendships that you are in, you know. And God was setting me free from this. And I came out the other side being able to trust, being able to start off, being able to love unconditionally, and to be vulnerable toward other people. This was a new thing for me, you know. I didn't always feel I need to protect myself, because I now learned God fights my cause. God will vindicate me. And I can trust Him for it. And I've also seen in my life, sometimes God allows something. You know, you've heard people say, people always make that joke, don't ever say you'd never want to go to India, because then God will send you there. You've heard that, you know. That's also true for things that you never want to happen to you, you know. Those fears that you have, sometimes you have that fear, and God needs to set you free from something that's causing you to fear that thing. So I just came out of this trial, and God was preparing me for the next one. And I was standing in church in Stellenbosch, praise and worship, and God showed me a picture. He showed me my heart, all right? And I saw my heart, and he was talking to me, you know, lots. It was amazing. And He said to me, look at your heart, you know. Look, I've cleaned it quite a bit, you know. He obviously only showed me what I could handle, I think. But he said, no, he's cleaned it quite a bit, you know, and I saw it. It looked awesome because as I saw it, I saw the hardness breaking off and I saw the stuff coming off. And then, but on top, I saw this little layer of like blackness. And I said to God, but God, what about that? And God said to me, that's going to hurt a little bit, you know. I was standing there thinking, sure, you know, is this really necessary? And so I was going into the next trial, which was, it took a bit longer, you know, but in that, God, it was the same feeling, my heart was broken, but God delivered me of so many things, you know, that was holding me back, that was destructive in my relationships. And this time I knew, I don't have to fret, you know, I can just trust God. He knows exactly what He's doing. And I know this feeling now of having a broken heart, and I'll have it tomorrow, you know, it's amazing. But sometimes what I'm trying to say is, sometimes God needs to change our heart, you know, to prepare it for the truth, to be able to take away some of your blindness, and it's not something to fear. Okay, my third point, no unbeliever God says you are and what He has for you. Okay, like we looked at what the old man and what he thinks and so on, but what does God have for you? I say we've been called to live lives with big dreams, or we've not been called to live life, sorry, with no dreams, limited expectations, being a victim to our circumstances. We've not been called to lives of mediocrity. Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. God's plans are to prosper me and give me a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. And Jesus promises us abundant life. The Word of God says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And Jesus said that if we have faith in Him, we will do works, the works that He did, but even greater works than that. And what I'm trying to say is, like I said at the beginning, choice. You have a choice. You have a choice to believe this, you know, or you can believe what the world says about you. And what you believe is likely, if you believe the truth of God, which is the ultimate truth, and you walk in that is what you will become, you know. But if you subject your mind to what the world says, and you can walk into that. You know, it's like feeling bad about yourself often leads to you doing bad things. If I think I'm bad, I'm more prone to do something bad because it's okay. And doing bad things lead to doing more bad things. And so you just, you know, because the devil is sly. He sets you up, he shows you, yo, this thing is very attractive to you. This is very appealing. Okay. Then you do it. The moment you've done it, he goes, look how bad you are. Check what you've done, you know, what a sinner, what are you disgusting, you know, then all the condemnation comes. And that's why I say it's like that self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like Job, you know, Job feared all those things and all those things came over him that he actually feared. Okay, no, we're not going to get into that. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, God says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This for me is one of the most amazing scriptures. We just have to believe the truth, listen to God's voice, and do the works. He's already set them out for us. You know, we don't have to create works. He has ordained them beforehand. It's there. You just need to walk in it. Okay. Romans 8 verse 8, coming back to what I said just now about feeling bad about yourself. There's no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus and you walk according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ and walk according to the Spirit. It also, the Word says in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, God's divine power has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Okay. And these promises are available to us. And it is the truth that sets us free. What we choose to believe is up to us. Okay, there are things influencing what we believe, but this is what I'm sharing on tonight. Like, believing the word as it is. I just want to share one example of this, of what wrong belief, you know, can do. After school, I studied marketing for 2 years at a college because I didn't know what else I want to do. And then I went overseas for 3 years, and I came back. And I decided, you know, very at random, I'm not going to study. I'm going to study at university. One of my friends talked me into it. And I went and I sat next to the river in Paul, and I sat there with a perspective, and I decided, now I need to decide. What do I like? Oh, I like biology at school. I liked woodwork more, but I'm not going to study that, you know. So I picked the most general course. You couldn't do BSc general anymore, so I took molecular and cellular biology. And from there, my course got changed. But in my first year, this was now my 6th year out of school, I never had physics or chemistry, and I couldn't remember any maths. And in high school, I took maths higher grade. I had typing and woodwork as well, okay? So if I didn't take maths higher grade, I couldn't get matric exemption. So I took it. In standard 8, I failed it, okay? The teacher called me and she said, look, no one who ever fails it in standard 8 makes it in standard 9. I said, I decided now I will. So I took extra math classes until matric, and I made it with a D, 50, bang on, okay? So now I'm at university, and I've got first year's math to pass, and I'm not a believer. And we wrote our predicate tests, and this is now the, can you go and write your exam? I got 43%. They said to us, look, if you've done badly in this, I don't know why they always say stuff like that at university, the exam is even harder, okay? So I just thought, oh, yes, you know. And physics and chemistry wasn't looking good either. So then I got saved just after my birthday on 30 April. And a lady in church at Stellenbosch, she preached for me to be spirit-filled, and she prophesied over me. Now, I was thinking because of... I remember even in high school thinking, I was thinking in high school I would never make it at university. I'm not just not that type of student. And now that I was studying, I would sit in class and look at everyone, and everyone seemed to know what's going on except me. Oh, that's what it felt like to me. And sorry, I lost my story there a little bit. Yeah, after I got spirit-filled, man, this Tani prophesied over me, and I thought that I was stupid, you know, that's to say it bluntly. And I thought, but also it's because of drug abuse, you know. That's why I've messed up my mind, and so now I'm not so lucky anymore. And she said to me, I didn't tell her anything. She said to me, I don't know where you get the idea from that you're stupid, but God says it's not true. And He's going to restore everything that the locusts have stolen. You know, I was sitting there thinking, wow, amazing. Why would I not believe? I believe that I took that word, I took that truth, and I went with it at my studies, you know. To make a long story short, I got 96% for maths in my first year, you know. After failing higher grade in high school, you know, after almost not making it, my studies was a success story from then onwards, you know. The truth of God, it has power. Jesus emphasized that. Jesus emphasized that if we believe, all things are possible. All things. If we believe, all things are possible. Sometimes to take hold of what God has for us, we need to give away things. Sometimes we attach too much value to worldly things, you know. For me, it was money. I thought if I've got enough money, I'll be like, God had to deal with my heart and that thing. I tell you, I used to sit in church, and when a pastor preaches about money doesn't, and you know, it's not about money, an abundant life is not money, I would think, not in this life. Yeah, it's money. And God set me free of that, you know. And for me then, if you told me then, I would be free of it, I would have thought you're nuts, man. Like, this is such an important thing to me. But today, to be free of it just opens your heart to so many other things that would have just set me on a course of loss and destruction. Point four, short point. Do not fear, although it's one of the most important for me. Do not fear man or the devil, fear God. Okay? Fear for me is one of the biggest stumbling blocks to living in freedom from my old man. When you're scared, you're very prone to fall back on what you know. Okay? What is familiar to me, I fall back on it. I do that, you know. If I always react a certain way to being scared, why not do it now? Why take the risk, you know, while I'm scared to step out in faith? It's a scary place. But it's a choice that you can make when you believe in God and when you're trusting Him. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Like I said, it doesn't come naturally for me to stand here. I quoted the scripture many times before coming to stand here tonight. I didn't feel it. I still felt scared, but I believed it. In 1 John 4 verse 4, God who is stronger, God in us is stronger than he is in the world. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, verse 31. And then this one is very important. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. It's amazing how easy we compromise. You know, put yourself in a situation where there's pressure. Fear of man. Everyone is going to do something, and you actually feel convicted that it's not right. How easily do you just shove that conviction out of your head and you go for it? You know, because that thing, you feel that thing is so much more painful, that rejection of man, you know, it's too painful. You can't do it. You know, but actually, if you look at it, you know, who is God compared to man? And what have you been called for? You know, it's a very scary thing. And then lastly, I have a spirit of love, power, and self-control. I've been given a spirit of love, and of power, and of self-control. When I was 16, I went to a psychiatrist the first time. And then when I was in college, they said I've got obsessive-compulsive disorder. Now, my life was a bit of a circus when I was younger. When I was in primary school, I had to sing for taps and light switches, right? So I would close the tap, I would walk away 2 steps. I kid you not, go back to it. No, it's not like I closed. Okay, it works. Take me 5 minutes, take me 10 minutes. Get back into the house, get out again, go and check it again. Okay, same with light switches. Did I leave the stove on? Is the house going to burn down? Did I leave the tap on? How much water are we going to waste? Is the world going to flood? You know, it's ridiculous. But this was a fear thing, you know. This is a fear-driven thing, actually, because of thinking that you're bad, thinking that you're inadequate, thinking that you're not good enough. Now you resort to all sorts of controls that you have to check the whole time. So fear, I'm completely set free from that. I don't check any taps. In fact, I sometimes forget to close them and leave them open overnight. Sometimes you have to do that. Okay. My fifth point. Arm yourself with the Word of God. Okay. We have the Word of God. We know it's the truth. Okay. There's many things that can make you doubt. Renew your mind. Cultivate an appetite for the Word of God. And for time spent in God's presence. You know, we're all a bit slack. Yeah, you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like having a quiet time, you know. Start with 15 minutes. Start with 10 minutes. But just start with getting a discipline into your life every day, every day. Your appetite will grow. Your appetite will grow for it, for truth, for that time spent with God. Because all of this, there's no use in it if it's not for coming closer to God. Because in coming closer to God and walking that road, these other things actually become a lot easier. Galatians 5 verse 1, the scripture I started with, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Jesus has already won the battle. James 4 verse 7 says, "Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Okay? It sounds simple. But because of our fears and our stuff in the old man, you know, many times we get thoughts. They're coming like darts, and you feel you really need to think about this thing now. You need to analyze it. And actually for many things, maybe it's a fear. The word just says, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, you know. There's a scripture. I find there's a scripture for everything. And if you just use that scripture, you use it like a plug, you know. In every one of these situations, we have a choice. Are we going to resurrect the old man, or are we going to walk in the Spirit? When we resurrect the old man, he gets stronger. We walk in him, we feed him. Before we know, those patterns are consuming our mind. But if we walk in the Spirit, your spirit man gets stronger, you know, and it gets easier. And then you have bigger challenges. Okay, your old man has been put to death in Christ. You have a new life in Christ. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 8 says, setting your mind on the things of the Spirit is life, and things of the world is death. You know, it's so true. And then be serious about it. You know, this is not a thing that, like, this has been my experience. It took me many years to have some victory here because I wasn't serious about it. I'm amped for it today, not so amped tomorrow. Circumstance, emotion, all sorts of things affecting it. But you need to be serious about it. I like this thing about David. David killed Goliath with, what do you call that contraption? A slingshot. Killed him, bang on, in the head. And then he went and he chopped off his head. You know? He killed him and he killed him dead. You know? He doesn't mess around. He'd like, you know? And then also, Paul says, he does not fight like a man beating the air. And he also compares the Christian life to a race. And Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. You know? Now, all that explains is deal with your sins and your things. Deal with it aggressively, you know. Be serious about it. Be serious about it. Your own understanding oftentimes can convince you that biblical truth, it just doesn't make sense. You know, you're in a situation, the truth is there, you know it, but your head says it doesn't make sense. I'll challenge you. Take the truth. Walk the road of the truth and see what the outcome is, you know. I just want to say that again. Not to underestimate the level to which our minds have been conditioned, you know, conditioned in a way not to be able to follow the truth. But you need to choose over it. Also, just, you know, those the hurts we have from when we were little, rejection, abuse, whatever. The needs we have, often from those hurts, you know, it's your sinful nature. It needs to sustain itself, but it's a setup, okay? Those things, that's why that word was so cool. You need to bring those things to God. Those things are open doors. If you, those hurts and stuff, you know, those are the open doors that the devil used to come and resurrect the old man. Because those things dictate to you in a very strong way. You know, in biology, in first year, you learn this thing about fight or flight, you know. Your inherent reaction is often not to seek God, to come close to God. It is to do something else, and that's where the devil is standing ready, and he starts pumping air into your old man. You know, those hurts, bring it to God. Your needs, your addictions, all that stuff, bring it to God. It's open doors. In summary, in Christ we are new. It's the truth. But we need to choose to believe it. It's available to all of us, but what you do with that truth will greatly affect the outcome. It's only God that can fulfill and heal you. You know, those hurts and things that Satan tries to get access into your life, those things you can do whatever you like. It is only God that can heal you and fulfill you. It's really hard to be a Christian but not to believe the Word of God. I think C.S. or someone once preached the word, called it unbelieving believers. It was so applicable in my life, but I didn't know what to do with it because I was so tied up in whatever, you know. It's very hard to be a Christian if you don't believe the Word of God, if you're living a life of mediocrity. The devil has a great time sowing destruction in your life. You're up and down, you're in cycles, it's not fun. You know? Believe God and His word there. Make a choice to stop being double-minded. Make a choice, you know. Deal with it aggressively. Believe who God says you are and not what you think and what others say. I want to emphasize that again. Self-fulfilling prophecy. Think badly about yourself. You might end up there. And the bad thing about it is, if you, let's say your parents, grandparents treated them a certain way, they get cycles and patterns into their life, abuse, whatever. They come with those same patterns and cycles, your life. You can transfer it, but you can choose to make a stop. You can choose to, with the help of God, change the legacy that's been handed down in your family for generations on. Don't be afraid. God is for us, and He says it in His word. It's the truth. You know, what can man do to you? We've not been called to mediocre, struggling lives, but to victorious, abundant lives. This is the word of God. Yeah. And then, very important, God wants to use us in other people's lives. You know, we're all broken, but God wants to heal that brokenness. And it doesn't matter where you're at, you know, He can use you. I've seen that where I'm, you know, nowhere. And God can use you. And this is very important. Like all of this, you're not just doing it for yourself. You know, when you come to a place where you've received so much healing, what are you going to do with it? If your friend next door is sitting with the same problem and you know his life, it sucks, you know. Maybe your challenge to die to self is just to speak out. It's just to open your mouth and to share what God has done in your life. I think tonight there's many ways we can be challenged. There's many ways that I'm challenged in this. Maybe you just feel overwhelmed, you know, by your flesh. Maybe you just feel like you're tired of struggling. You don't know how to get out of it. You fall for the same things over and over again. You know, you've got these destructive patterns in your life, and you just feel like you don't know how to get out of it, you know. Or maybe you're challenged by just the fact that God can allow something in your life to change your heart, you know. Maybe you're scared of that. Maybe there are things in your life that you feel God actually wants you to give up, you know. Or maybe it's just that God wants you to speak out. Or maybe you've got all these hurts and fears that is open access to the devil, all right? But we'd like tonight, before you leave, if you fall in any of those categories or something else, just to come forward, that we can pray with you, you know, and that we can ask God and trust Him to impart these things to you, so that you can be free from your old man and taste and see what it is that God speaks about abundant life. Thanks.
Is anybody out here right now that has been struggling with something that they want to bring, some hardness in their heart, as Hein was sharing, or some pattern of behavior that they cannot break free from? Or if there's anything of your old man that you just want to bring before the Lord and pray with a brother or sister just to agree on, agree to seek the truth of God as opposed to what the world is saying, I urge you this evening to come forward. So if there's anybody here, won't you just stick up your hand? Stick up your hand if there's anybody here. I'm going to ask you, thank you for those hands. I'm going to ask you just to come forward, and there's going to be Hein here and a couple of other people ministering. So please be brave and just come forward. Thank you. Amen.